Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show is back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Brown, the Grantman Lonzo, and you. Be a part of the show, 844-326-3663, 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. You can text that number. We will read it on the air. You can call that number. We'll put you on the air. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, you can hit us up on our live stream. We live stream all 4 hours of the show, all 5 days of the week. Check it out at The Fan Upstate on YouTube, on Twitter, on Facebook, The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitch, because we're young, hip, and cool like that. You can jump into the comments. You can watch with other members of the Armada. And more. We'd love to have you in that spot. All right, let's get to some National Football League. We've talked a lot of college football so far this morning, and we will get back to our college football here in just a little while from now. But we're playing a little game that we call Pause or Panic. The game is very simple. We are running through a list of teams that are perhaps underperforming, whether it is by the week or on the season at large in the NFL. Of course, that is a huge sample size of two games thus far. And we are saying, are we pushing pause? Relax, everybody. Woosah. Take a deep breath. Let's relax. This team's got some time. Or are we ripping open that big plastic cube that covers the red panic button and slamming it? Let's do some... We did this with the college teams earlier, the Gamecocks, Tigers, Irish, Longhorns, and Gators. A couple, Alonzo and I, landed on the same page. A couple we were very opposite on. Let's see if the same is true in the National Football League. Let us begin, Alonzo, with the Carolina Panthers. They are now 0-2. They get hammered by Jacksonville in week number one. The Jags were on the road in week two at Cincinnati. Joey B played about a half and a couple of minutes before he left with death toe. And the backup quarterback, Jake Browning, came in and had himself a pretty good day against the Jags. Trevor Lawrence was not bad in this game, a multi-touchdown TD, but the team that smoked Carolina in week number one loses in week number two. On the flip side, the team that just, we can say, valiant come from behind effort for the Carolina Panthers, it was. They were down 20-3 at the half, but at the same time, I've already pointed out, not super impressed by it, because I think Arizona went into cruise control defensively in the second half of that game once they built up the big lead. Once Carolina got the onside kick down five, and it was like, oh, this is a real thing that is now happening to us, really. I think Arizona went back onto the throttle, and because the Panthers got lulled into a false sense of security that, hey, we can do this, once Arizona actually played aggressive NFL defenses again, it all went downhill, and the Panthers in the fourth quarter game-winning potentially drive went back to looking like they were not a good football team. Zoe, 0-2. Oh, and by the way, the Cardinals needed everything they had to get by the Saints in week number one on the road. Pause or panic on the Carolina Panthers?
Pause. believe it or not. And here's the reason why. I'm looking at standings because I was curious. Falcons are 1-1.
Sure.
Panthers and Saints both 0-2. Bucks are 1-0, but they play tonight.
Yep.
So we'll see how they do. So the Panthers are only just a couple games out of first place, right?
I mean, if Tampa loses tonight, they are a game out of first place. No divisional losses yet.
Right. So, I mean, that's the thing. And it is the NFC South where 8 to 9 games will win the whole thing. Sometimes less than that. So don't panic, but like on the edge of again, it depends on the expectations. A lot of people picked the Panthers to win the South, including you.
Yep.
I did not, but that's fine. I still picked Tampa Bay to win. The Panthers still could win the South. They absolutely could. It's only 2 games. I'm not going to panic yet.
I think that's very fair, and I'm honestly with you. I think that you are looking at a couple of different things. I think you're looking at an offensive line that is, yes, underperforming so far, but I would also say, again, move some guys around, had some guys that were injured throughout the preseason. Number two, preseason did not, I put this on Dave Canales, did not give this team a team that is revolving around guys that are both A, new to the roster across the offensive line and in the wide receiver room, are moving to different spots within the rotation. This is why I got kind of ticked off, to be honest with you. After preseason game number one, when Dave Canales was like, yo, all our starters are playing 2 quarters for at least the first 2 preseason games, and then they didn't do that. They didn't do that. Preseason game number one, the Panthers offense looked okay right out of the gate, and then they played like 3 or 4 series, and they pulled them. Game two, same thing. Game three, hardly played at all. I don't think you gave this team the opportunity to find any sort of comfort in each other in the preseason. And I think it's come back to bite you in the ass. James on the live stream just said Carolina just looks unprepared. I agree. And I gave you the reason for that. Like, there's no reason these guys didn't get more snaps in the preseason. Oh, we're afraid of injuries. Well,
but there are moments. There are moments.
The flash is there.
Where it's like, oh, okay, if they could do that, like, semi-consistently, they'll be competitive in games.
Yeah. The flash is there. Like, it's right there. So I will say pause as well on the Carolina Panthers. I think it is possible that as early as next week, certainly now in week 4, if we're looking at 0-3 or 0-4 after week 4, then we got a different story. But right now, I would say, I'm going to say pause. Zoe, what about my New Orleans Saints? 0-2 on the year after they have now 2 games in a row where they gave what they had to give, and it just wasn't quite enough. Week number one, an opportunity late in the game to knock off the Cardinals. Juwan Johnson drops a ball in the end zone that would have sent the game to overtime. They lose by 1 score. Yesterday against San Francisco, although no Brock Purdy, no George Kittle, no starting left tackle, they also lost a couple of guys, including Juszczyk in game against a battered and bruised 49er team. The Saints were right there in it. Spencer Rattler records his first multi-touchdown game. Could have had one more. Olave dropped one in the end zone. That would have been a score.
Why when an Ohio State player drops the ball, you look at me accusingly?
No, I was just looking in that direction.
No, it's just like it's my fault. A lot
because you guys are
ball.
Wide receiver you.
It's not changing anything.
Unacceptable to drop.
The best in the world drops one every once in a while.
I'm
not saying he is, but, you know.
It did have a pretty good day overall, did Chris Olave. Rattler looks fine. Defense had moments where they, in Arizona and San Francisco both, moments where you go, okay, better than expected, and then moments where you go, what the hell is that? Like, they fought their way back into the game, and then they let Juwan Jennings go off for like a 60-yard touchdown catch that it's like, did y'all for like, he's allowed to do that. Did we forget about that? Pause or panic on the New Orleans Saints?
All right, I'm going to say pause, and here's the reason why. I've been sold a bill of goods by one Rob Brown, and I believe it, who poor mouths his team to no end. And it's like, so you start thinking, well, maybe he's right. Maybe they're not that good. And from what I've seen, the last 2 games, the potential is there to win some games. And they were picked to be the cellar dweller. Not so sure they're going to be that. So I say pause. Ball bounces a different way a couple times they win those games. It's not like they're getting blown out.
I mean, there was a drop or two that probably changes the outcome of that game, right? In fact, there was one, aside from the Olave snag, there was one that kind of blew my mind. Rattler did an outstanding job extending a play under pressure, looked over. Juwan's tight end is over on the left, throws a good block, turns around. He's the emergency relief valve, right? Rattler hits him in the friggin' numbers. I mean, bang, right in the chest, on the run, hits him in the numbers. And he just drops the ball. Just like dry. He looks at Rattler and he puts his hand up like, my bad. It's like, yeah, no, we know.
Yeah, everyone knows.
Yeah, we know. We saw it. They showed the replay on that. There wasn't a dude within 15 yards of that guy. Like, he catches that ball. It's a first down on a play that should have been a sack loss for 7 or 8. Rat Daddy scrambles around, gets open, finds Juwan. He just drops the ball on what would have been a first down. If those things get fixed, and by the way, he would turn around like a drive or two later and have a circus catch of a fall-away fading touchdown on the near corner that Rattler threw a piece of art of a football, and he made a ridiculous... I'm like, do you make that ridiculous-ass catch, but you drop one where you're by yourself that hits you in the numbers?
Throughout time, we have seen players like that, that the gimmies are a problem because it's too easy for them, but if you throw something that they shouldn't be able to catch, they do almost every time, and he's one of those guys.
Yeah, dude turned into Calvin Johnson for no reason. Like, it was unbelievable. I'm fine with pause. I still don't think this team is very good. I just don't think they'll be competing for the number one pick like a lot of people thought they would be. Zo, let's flip it over. Let's go to your squad. 0-2 for the first time since Patrick Mahomes was a rook. The Chiefs drop one to the Eagles in a Super Bowl rematch. Philly comes into town, gets the better of Kansas City. The very, 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 very long road loss in week one against the Chargers down in Sao Paulo, Brasilia. Pause or panic on the Kansas City Chiefs?
Okay, I'm going to say pause, and here's the reason why. That's how the Chiefs win or lose like they did yesterday. I will say that it hit me pretty good yesterday. It usually doesn't, but this is what the Super Bowl should have been. Instead of that blowout thing that we saw a few months ago, it should have been this. This is a back-and-forth game to really good teams, and mistakes are what cost the Chiefs the game. And, you know, the interception in the end zone by Kelsey.
Yep.
There's also, which I couldn't believe, Andy Reid went for it on 4th-and-2 on their side of the field. He never does that. And that, if I recall, ended up for points for Philadelphia. Kansas City had a receiver wide open, and Patrick Mahomes missed him, and Juwan Taylor should be traded. So there's a lot of things. And they even mentioned Juwan Taylor that the coaching staff is on him for how many penalties he's getting.
As it should be.
And I'm like, finally they're doing that. So I'm not panicking. I also had a thought yesterday. It was like, man, if this was college football, it's over. But it's not. It's not. It's the NFL. It's not about rankings or anything. It's about record. And they can get back in there. And it looked like they were down and out a couple years ago. And they were able to pull it together after the Raiders beat them down. They were able to pull it together and ended up, I believe, in the Super Bowl that year. So I am not panicking. I am pausing. If we get to 0-4, the panic is full on, though.
I think that's fair. I look at Kansas City, and I honestly completely agree with you that this loss – this was not so much. There was a really funny interaction at the end of the game where Chris Jones looked at Jalen Hurts and he's like, dog, you got less than 100 yards in this game. And Jalen was like, yeah, but we won the bleeping game. And it's like, yeah, you did. And you did it because, again, like Saquon Barkley is Saquon Barkley. You can do everything you want to do to stop this guy. The best you can do is hope to slow him down. He's still Saquon Barkley. But I firmly agree with you that this game was lost by Kansas City mistakes, not by Philly being like a clearly better football
team. Also, I owe you an apology about the ball tracking thing, and they probably should do that more often, I guess, because it looked like they got a first down with the tush push, and then they did the ball thing, which they haven't been doing as much. Have you noticed they don't really use it? They talk about they don't really, but they use it on that. I think they should use that on that play every single time. If you don't use it on any other play, use it on that one where you cannot see the ball and you cannot see the ball carrier. It makes sense there.
I think the interesting thing about this And I noticed this during the, I forget what game it was.
By the way, it didn't look like they were going to do it until the announcers mentioned it, and then all of a sudden they did it.
Well, so here's what I have noticed so far. They apparently are using it in games, but, and this is a very TV reality, I think the novelty of it has worn off, because I noticed that in at least the Saints game, and it may have just been because I was watching like six different games at the same time, but there was a spot in the Saints game where it was used, and they didn't really talk about it on the broadcast. Like, I heard the referee in the background that was like, after replay analysis, the ball has been moved to, like, announce that it was because of that. So I think it's one of those things, whether this was the directive of the National Football League or whether it's just because, all right, we've seen it play out in person. You know, it's probably heightened drama after a tush push because of how impactful that play has been on the NFL. But in other games where it's maybe less impactful, you know, teams down 14 and they get a first down, it's not as dramatic.
I forget who it was. For some reason, I think it was one of the referee analysts or something. It may have been just the announce team said, man, I wish that play would go away.
No, I actually know exactly what it was. It was Pereira. It was Mike Pereira.
Yeah, because, so it was what I was saying.
It was Mike Pereira. Yeah. They asked they you know, Mike Pereira, the rules expert on the CBS broadcast, they brought him in and they're like, all right, man, now you've seen it. We've seen the replay. And what's your reaction as official? And he said, and I'm only going to quote the first sentence because I can't remember the rest of it. But he said, I'm done with the tush push.
That's what it was. Yeah.
He said, I'm done with the tush push. And they're like, whoa, what now? And he goes, I'm done with the tush push. It's too hard to officiate. He's like, it's an impossible play to officiate.
Right. That's why I said, I'm sorry. I think that way, the computer way, is the only way you can accurately find where the ball is for that play. Other plays I will argue about, but this one, you got to go with that for that. And this may be the sole reason why they're using that. Just for this play.
I think it's a huge part of the reason why. When you got Mike Pereira, who is paid American dollars to go on TV and explain rules and what's happening and why and what the call is and why, and he goes, yeah, I'm done. I don't want to talk about this anymore. This play ticks me off. I'm tired of it. I don't want to do it anymore. When that happens, yeah, I get it. So, like, I'm sure that's a big chunk of it. Now, if it's better at ruling on that play, it's probably better at ruling on all the plays, but that's a different conversation for a different time. I get it. I get it. All right, real quick, before we run to the break, Bears, panic or pause?
That's two on Monday.
On Monday.
Rough start. It's a panic, for sure. But it depends on the expectations. I was never high on this team anyway, but a lot of other people were. So,
pause on the Bears for me. There were a couple of spots where you can see, like, Caleb's is there. Now, it's still some real
bad throws. By your guys. That's commendable.
I stick by my guys until I'm going to look like a jackass if I keep just sticking with the guys.
We're on the edge there.
I'm not there with Caleb Williams just yet. Denver, panic or pause?
Wow, that's hard.
I know. I actually agree.
I'm going to go pause.
Denver, I don't know, man. Like, the way you lost this game to Indianapolis, they miss a field goal. It should be ball game. Instead, you break like the most obvious rule. Don't touch the center. It's like you teach that to kids playing football in middle school. You give them a second chance. You get walked off by Danny freaking Dimes, who's 2-0. Danny Dimes. Danny Dimes might become the biggest feather in the cap full of feathers that I have about blame the franchise, not the quarterback and franchise quarterback. We'll talk some more NFL coming up on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you talking some National Football League. We did get some news earlier in the day. Joe Burrow will need toe surgery. Sustained turf toe, or as the, I forget the name of it, but there's like, it's like the American Society of, what's the feet doctor? Podiatrist, I think is it. They wanted to change the name of turf toe to death toe because apparently like it's a genuinely serious injury. Like it has kind of a goofy name attached to it. Anyway, Joey B will need surgery. So he is going to be sidelined for a minimum of 3 months, according to Adam Schefter, who tweeted that information out earlier this morning. I'm just convinced the football gods hate Cincinnati. They just hate that city. Like you got a little taste of the Super Bowl action in the early Joey B career, and now he's just stacked up injury. And before anybody starts today jumping on the Joe Burrow is injury prone and therefore overrated wagon, because I guarantee you'll hear that today.
Not going to say overrated, but injury prone I think might be a thing. And not his fault, but are injuries ever anyone's fault? Oh, he just gets hurt because, well, I guess if you get multiple concussions because you don't know how to play without, you know, going head first all the time, that's kind of your fault. But they kind of, his injuries are all kind of different. It's not like it's the same injury.
So I used this example earlier, and I'm gonna shape it up a little bit.
How is Christian McCaffrey injury prone and Joe Burrow not?
Because Christian McCaffrey gets hurt playing football, and because Joe Burrow is playing behind five subway turnstiles called an offensive line.
Doesn't Christian McCaffrey also play behind an offensive line?
Let me shape my example up a little bit here.
Shaping it.
I'm gonna shaping it up here a little bit.
Put some hair gel in it.
There are two people that we are talking about, Joe Burrow and Christian McCaffrey. For the sake of my metaphor here, let's say there are two guys that keep going to the hospital because they keep getting hit by cars. Now, guy number one regularly runs back and forth across Woodruff Road, no problem. But every now and then he gets hit by a car. And sometimes he gets hit by the car and he's fine, and sometimes he gets hit by the car and he's in the hospital for months at a time. And then there's a second guy. And this guy doesn't run across Woodruff Road. He doesn't want to run across Woodruff Road. He wants to stand there on the side of the road and just watch the cars go by. And every now and then, I run up behind him, grab him by the back of the pants, and throw him into Woodruff Road. Now, the guy who is running back and forth across Woodruff Road, repeatedly getting hit by cars and hurt, that guy's injury prone. The guy who is standing on the side of the road and I repeatedly throw him into traffic, that guy's not injury prone. He is hurt by the situation. It is not on him that he keeps getting hit and hurt by cars. That's on me because I keep throwing him into traffic. In the metaphor, the guy who is actively running back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth across Woodruff, he got himself hurt by doing it. He's injury prone. The guy who is standing on the side of the road and keeps getting lifted up and tossed into traffic and therefore hit by cars on Woodruff Road, that's Joe Burrow. He doesn't want to be out there. He doesn't want to be playing in traffic, but I keep throwing him into traffic and he keeps getting hurt by the traffic. That's not injury prone. That's being hurt by someone else. And in this metaphor, I'm the Cincinnati Bengals who keep throwing Joey B into traffic, watching him get hurt, and then going, "We can't trust you, dog." Bro, maybe stop throwing the guy into traffic. Maybe stop throwing the guy into traffic. I went yesterday
after the injury was announced. Now, at the time, it was still up in the air. They had to send his MRI off to a, I'm assuming, orthopedic surgeon slash podiatrist to determine, like, is this really turf toe? There were a lot of folks who were hoping it was just going to end up being, like, a high-grade strain of the toe. Maybe he'd miss a couple of weeks, but he'd be all right. I went to the Bengals subreddit yesterday because there's very few things on planet Earth more delicious than fans who are freaking out and angry. Like, angry fans are some of the funniest people on planet Earth. So I went to the Bengals message board on Reddit, and I learned some things about Cincinnati. Like, for instance, did you know that the Cincinnati Bengals have the smallest scouting department in the NFL by a lot because their owners refused to invest in it? Now, this is a fan opinion, but I went and I looked. Their scouting department's like three guys. It's like three guys that they have to scout everybody to determine who's going to become the next Cincinnati Bengals. This program, this franchise,
they should hire Connor Stallions. He's available.
Literally anybody could hire me and it would be a step up. Like, just anybody, just bodies, just anybody who can even pretend to claim the title of ball knower right now. This team has for years now, according to Bengals fans, and I'm inclined with like 6 minutes of Googling, I'm inclined to believe what I've read. This team consistently goes and just does not find guys. They are, you know what they are? They're Jerry Jones without the drama. They know best. They've made billions of dollars. And man, if you've made billions of dollars, you must be the smartest guy in every room. Because that's how you operate. You're just smarter than everybody else. And that's what they're doing. And so Joey Burrow, by way of playing behind five wet paper towels called an offensive line, he goes down and he's hurt again. Again. I'm tired of it, dude. I'm tired of it. And I'm tired of it.
Rob, you know, other people, other quarterbacks, big name quarterbacks, big time NFL quarterbacks play behind bad offensive lines and they don't get hurt.
Like who?
Like just about everybody. They don't.
Oh, everybody's got a bad offensive line.
Well, I mean, you know, there's not too many great offensive lines out there. I'm just saying he sounds injury prone. I don't want him to be. I like Joe Burrow, but I think he's injury prone. Every year it's something else, and you can make an excuse for it. But I looked up the definition of injury prone. One of them was improper training. Is he not training good?
No.
He's not training right. He's not
playing.
Keeping his body right so he can be a little more agile, get out of the way from those trains that are coming at him.
You know what? Just because I'm curious, I wanted to go look at the offensive line rankings through week number two. According to Pro Football Focus, and let me see if I can get all these pulled up here. The number one offensive line in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus, take a stab in the dack at it. Lonzo, who is it?
Stab in the dack.
Stab in the dack. Who is it?
Number one, I would go Philadelphia.
That is exactly who it is. Philadelphia Eagles. Jalen Hurts, no issues with injury. Number two, Denver Broncos. Bo Nix. Look way better than I expect Bo Nix to. Early, but no injuries. Number three, Tampa Bay. Keep winning the NFC South. Number four, Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson. No history, no extensive injury, history with injuries. Number five, Detroit Lions. Since Jared Goff's got to Detroit, no injuries for Jared Goff, and the Lions have been pretty good. Number six, Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen got a bloody nose this weekend. Missed two plays. Outside of that, no real history with injuries there. Indianapolis, number seven. Danny Dimes is 2-0, going for like 350 a game. Arizona, number eight. Kyler Murray and the Cardinals are 2-0. Kyler doesn't really have a history of injuries outside of on Call of Duty. Number six, the Rams. My dark horse to win the NFC.
By the way, you don't know how good he is at Call of Duty. He might be pretty
good. That's also true. He might stink. Matt Stafford, since he showed up in L.A., playing good ball, no history of injuries. Number 10, the L.A. Chargers beat the Chiefs in week one. Everybody believes they're on the way up. Number 11, the Commanders. Jaden Daniels won Rookie of the Year last year, no history with injuries. Number 11, the Atlanta Falcons. Kirk Cousins lied about it, one injury. But also, that was kind of a freak one. Michael Penix Jr., who is historically injury-prone, no injuries behind the Atlanta Falcons offensive line. Do you see my point here? You see my point? You put a dude behind a good offensive line, they don't really get hurt, at least not unless it is a freak accident. Let me see, just out of curiosity, let me see if I can find real quick before we go to break where the Cincinnati Bengals are. They are number 27 in the O-line rankings.
So you're saying they're not last.
Who's number 28? Oh, the Miami Dolphins. Who's number 29? Oh, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Number 30, the Seahawks. 31, the G-Men. 32, the Texans. Just like Rob Brown said preseason, and here we are back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Wrapping it all up here on the show, Rob Brown, the Grip Malonzo, and you. This is the Fan Upstate. Final thoughts on a, well, actually, Monday, where we overreact to everyone else's overreactions and potentially issue one or two of our own. Final takeaway from the three teams that we cover primarily here on the show. I'll give you about 60 seconds on each. South Carolina, there was one thing I did not think I would have to question about this team. I figured there would be a game or two where Lenora Sellers maybe played a little bit too recklessly. I thought there would be a game or two where we would question the run game, a game or two we'd question the offensive line, a game or two we'd question the wide receivers, the defensive backs, the linebackers, maybe even the defensive line. The one thing I did not think that I would question about this team was its heart, its guts, its grit. It is the number one thing I took away from that loss at home to Vanderbilt. When Lenoris Sellers went down, it looked to me as if this team quit. And I did not think that I would say that about this team at any point this year. I didn't think they'd be perfect. I set the ceiling at 9-3. Still may very well get to 9-3, but the road to 9-3 got a hell of a lot longer with that loss. I did not think that I would ever accuse this team of rolling over. I think they rolled over against Vanderbilt. As far as the Clemson Tigers go, hey, listen, if you are good with losses like this, and I, again, called this shot back in May, June, July, that this Georgia Tech team was going to be for real, and that this was a 1,000% an upset opportunity for the rambling wreck of Georgia Tech. I also picked Clemson to win the game. I really did. I thought they've got to have gotten enough of a, oh crap, it's serious now warning against Troy that they get it right. But what did we see? Same play calling, same inconsistency. I got Cade Klubnik running more than your running back did in this game. I've got nobody that I can trust to step up and actually make a play. That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. The play calling, nothing has changed. It's the same stuff week in, week out, and we can put it on Garrett Riley if you want to. I don't. I put it on Dabo. And so the thing that I would say is this. as somebody who had expectations of competition for a national championship this year, I am tired of the platitudes. I'm tired of the, well, hey, why does nobody talk about how good we used to be? Why does nobody talk about the 10-win seasons? Man, winning is hard. I agree. I agree. But when you tell everybody, and I quote, the best is the standard, end quote, and you're not the best on the road against Georgia Tech, even if they are the best Georgia Tech ever, which they might very well be, what am I supposed to say? Unless you're going to change that big-ass banner in the practice facility to fourth best is the standard, which I don't think you want to do, then yes, I am going to say I am disappointed. I am disappointed in the lack of player development because I asked y'all earlier today to respond and zero of you did. What can I point at between the loss to LSU, a way too close game against Troy, and a loss to Georgia Tech? What can I point at and say, well, at least fill in the blank here is better because I have got nothing. And as far as the Carolina Panthers go, zero brownie points for the comeback effort against the Arizona Cardinals. Yes, I'll give you some credit in that you kept fighting, you stayed alive, you were aggressive on offense. Yes, I'll give Ted Aroa McMillan some credit because he looks as advertised. Yes, I'm going to give Hunter Renfrow some credit because in his effort, he looked like he recognized the necessity to fill in as new Adam Thielen this year. But Arizona's got off the gas pedal, man. Started dropping all but three, sometimes four, never five in Bryce's face. Like they went into what I thought was a very prevent style defense. And it, what do you want? You got the onside kick. You were set up for a miracle finish and it finished like a wet fart. Just gross. And you felt dirty afterwards.
That's three.
Woof. We're off to a bad start.
I don't want to follow what you just said.
Bad start.
That's just, why?
Yeah, but you got it. You got what I was saying.
Yeah, but I don't want to get it.
You got what I was saying.
Yeah, all right. The first thing that's X-ing is Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson X-ing because Russell Wilson was very interesting yesterday in the Giants walk-off overtime loss to the Dallas Cowboys. Russell Wilson was simultaneously the reason that the Giants were in a position to win that game and the reason they lost that game. That interception he threw was one of the most misguided WTF passes I've ever seen. Yet, he went for like 350 and some tutties to get him there.
After having the kind of game he had, and then he did that to end it. Yeah, it was.
You know what that is? It's like going on a date with a smoke show. She invites you back to her house, and then you burn the house down. Dude, no!
I think he believed his own hype there at the end. I can do no wrong. Oh, crap. I wish I hadn't thrown that.
Yeah, I think that was a desperation heave. I think that was a hero ball heave. I think that was, if this comes up complete, I'm going to look like a legend to the G-men. Here's the other part about this. Dak Prescott has not lost a game to the Giants in, I believe, now 18 consecutive efforts. Right? Dak Prescott has, if I saw the stat yesterday, I don't remember exactly what it is, but I think he's like fourth all-time in division-winning percentage for quarterbacks who have quarterbacked over, like, 50. I got to go find the exact stat. I took a screenshot of it, and then I forgot to upload it. Blah, 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 blah. Whatever the case is, Dak Prescott played good ball, and he needs some respect as well.
All right, the next thing is X-ing is Travis Kelce.
Travis Kelce X-ing because Travis Kelce had a real bad drop. Patrick hit him in the hands and ended up going through the hands and into the arms of a Philadelphia Eagle. That's not why they lost the game, but it is one of a couple of reasons.
That was right near the end. That would have been a surefire touchdown,
yes,
obviously.
It would have.
So that would have changed
the game. Or at least worst case would have put you down inside the two. And you will score from there.
He would have got in. That's not entirely the reason why Zach and people are saying it's because it's Taylor Swift's fault.
You remember that South Park song where they're like, blame Canada, blame Canada. That's the new song for the Chiefs, but it's just going to be blame Taylor Swift, blame Taylor Swift.
Yeah, so anyway, so it's all Taylor Swift's fault. He got engaged, and now he can't catch, apparently. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, it's dumb.
All right, the next thing that's X-ing is Mac Jones.
Mac Jones X-ing because Mac Jones beat my Saints yesterday in his 50th NFL start. The man who was cast off from the Patriots, who selected him in the first round, and his hometown Jaguars, who said, we got a guy, and it's not you, went down to New Orleans without George Kittle, went down to New Orleans without half his starting offensive line, and he beat my Saints. Ah, yay. Everything is awful. Right. Everything sucks when you're a fan of this team.
Two more really quick. The Colts are trending.
C-O-L-T-S or yes. C-U-L-T-S?
Yeah, that's a cult. This is a cult.
Right.
Cult. Not
you
a,
you
not
said
a
them the same way.
I did not.
Cult and cult.
No, exactly.
Say both.
That's what I said.
The Indianapolis.
You just don't want to talk about Danny Dimes.
Danny Dimes is 2-0 going for 350 and a tutty yesterday.
Put the emphasis on franchise in franchise quarterback.
I'm begging you. Also, Anthony Richardson, enjoy selling insurance or whatever you're going to do.
And finally, the last thing is Notre Dame.
0-2 and ranked ahead of 3-0 USC. What are you, AP poll? What are you?
What are we doing?
What are we doing? We'll talk more about that tomorrow. Y'all have a great rest of your day. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. Come back tomorrow. We'll try harder. It'll be better. Maybe. We'll see. The Rob Brown Show, The Fan Upstate. Later. We did it. We did it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.